Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
We're going to talk to our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back, struggled in against the odds from at least 100 yards away. The lovely Nettie Bunn from Riff the Counting. Hello, Nettie.
Hello.
And once again, Nettie, you have surpassed yourself, as you always do, by introducing to us some really interesting, fantastic guests.
Do you know what?
So who have you brought us this week?
I make it my thing.
Yeah.
You know, but the trouble is my bar rises so high now, I think I
I've heard that. I've heard about your bar rising.
Yeah, let's not go there. Anyway, I think you should start off by asking me what I've done since I last saw you.
What have you done since you last saw me?
Were
you
holiday.
You struggled across the road, that's what you've done.
Literally, yeah. Did Business Bunker, cleared off, been to Rome.
Rome?
Come back home, yeah. See,
Phil
will say she's always on holiday.
So I wasn't gonna mention.
Yeah, but you put it in your emails to me all the time.
I have once or twice.
So how was Rome, Nettie?
Rome was fabulous.
Had you been before?
I hadn't, and I loved it.
What was your favourite bit?
The Colosseum.
Yep.
Loved the Colosseum. I loved all of it, but the Colosseum, I thought.
Did you
was
go
into
the Vatican?
Did.
Yeah. Did you see the ceiling?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
It's very good. It's really very well painted.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The painters and decorators that did that are marvellous,
aren't
they?
Very good, very good.
I was trying to get them to do my wallpaper.
I don't think any of them are still alive, though. I think they killed them. I think it was such a big
job. Surprised.
Finished them off.
Must have been difficult up there on scaffolding.
I did think, though, I had one of those moments where the queue to get into the Basilica St. Peter's Square was 3 hours.
Yeah, it does go round and round, doesn't it?
It goes round and round the square. Yeah. Round the square? Can you go round a square? But anyway, it was ages. So went and did some other things, came back 4 o'clock, walked straight in. Now, I'm not being funny.
Well, did you leave someone in the queue?
No, the queue had gone. So everybody queued in the heat.
Was it shut?
Sun goes down, still can go in, same place, no queue.
Well, there you go.
So there's my top travel tip.
Did you have a private meeting?
What, with the Pope?
With the Pope, yeah.
Obviously, I can't discuss it.
Okay.
Yeah. Got to go to a lot of confessions.
That could keep you busy for a while, Nettie.
It could be a while. I've got to go back to Rome. No, I just thought the whole city was beautiful and really interesting. So, therefore, I've got very little business to tell you because I haven't done any.
But being serious for a moment, though, I mean, Rome's a fabulous city, isn't it? And there's just so much there to see that you can't get it all in one go. Did you go to the Tivoli Fountains and all that?
I did the fountains, I did the Spanish Steps.
Yeah.
I was absolutely
And a roll down
out.
The Spanish Steps.
Yeah, well, you have to. Did quite a lot of wine tasting.
Mm.
Yeah.
You didn't get on the limoncello?
I did. Of course I did.
Yeah, I thought you might.
We have to test it in different regions to see which one's the best.
Apparently.
But apart from that,
struggled back from your holidays in Rome.
Another holiday. Yeah. I've struggled back. No, as you know. You know, being a sponsor of the radio show and coming every month, make a point of bringing different clients and different partners. And this year we've done partners every other month and customers every other month. So this month I'm delighted that Phil has joined us, who, when I invited him to come here, was the sales and marketing director of ClearBooks, but he's waited so long to get on the show, he's now the CEO.
You realise that she's trying to blag that you've done this.
No.
So you got him promoted, is what you're telling me.
Of course. And no doubt I'll get a cut of your massive pay rise, Phil.
Silence.
Absolute silence.
But no, it's a pleasure, and I'm pleased to bring Phil here today because we work closely, as you know, with ClearBooks at Rift Accounting. You're one of our partners. I know we're one of your bigger partners as well. So we've even had a client recently who's written a book about working with the two of us, which we didn't even know about until he'd written it. So I'll let you
talk. Is it an expose?
Well, do you know what? I've even read it.
Have
you read it? I've read it.
Yeah. I read it before you. Yeah. We talked about it last time.
We did. I finished it now. I think I'd started but not finished.
Anyway, this is Phil Sayers. Absolute pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Mr. Phil Sayers, the CEO of ClearBooks. Phil, welcome to the show at last.
Thank you.
Been sitting there patiently being abused and being the centre of loads of shenanigans going on.
I'm just feeling hungry after all the talk of Garibaldis and warm waffles.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you. Why don't you kick off by telling those listeners that don't know, and I can't imagine there are any, but just in case, about ClearBooks and what it is you do and how you do it.
Okay, so ClearBooks is a UK-based supplier of cloud accounting software. So it's web-based accounting software primarily geared for small businesses. We work very closely with a whole number of accounting practices, including Rift, as Nettie rightly says, is one of our larger partners. And it was interesting the comments you made earlier on about collaboration, and that's clearly one of the bigger benefits of cloud accounting software, is that the client and the accountant can collaborate real-time, looking at the same numbers at the same time.
It's a fantastic thing, isn't it, this move towards that. I've been around so long that...
Me too, Paul.
That, you know, one of the big banes, especially as you grow a small business and you move from shoebox accounting, hopefully, at some point upwards, it becomes a really difficult thing, or it did in the past. You know, I'm sure you won't mind me saying, I mean, these days my company, we use SageLine 100 because we've used Sage for years, long before cloud accounting was available. So we have our own accounting packages. But for me, what you do is what I used to call back in the day software as a service. So do you just want to expand on that and kind of how it works, not from not the accounting side of it, but from a logistical side of it?
Well, if you go back to... days of old that you and I remember, Paul, if you had a bit of software, you installed it on your own PC or on your own servers, and only people in your office could access it. Software as a service means that the software itself sits somewhere else and that you as a user just access it via a web browser.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter where you are, whenever you are, you can still access your figures and your numbers.
Absolutely. So some of the benefits of this, as you say, is you can get to it from anywhere, but also you can share the information.
You can, and that's the way that the Rift work with many of their clients, is that the clients will do some or all of the basic data entry. The accountant can then review it. They can make amendments. They can make suggestions. They can make recommendations as to other things that the business can do, and it's all done real time. You don't have to take floppy disks between offices, as we all remember.
See, we do remember this,
And
Bird's looking, going, what the hell's a floppy disk?
No, we did it in history, do you remember? At school.
long time. and it's interesting, because I saw a survey recently that I think 75% of accounting practices in the UK still have clients who are using either paper records or spreadsheets.
It is shocking.
Passing between them.
It is shocking.
It's so easy to make life easier.
Yeah, and let's face it, it's not expensive either, is it?
I certainly wouldn't say it was expensive.
But it's not. You know, when you think about, I'm really passionate about this. I operate as an angel investor, and one of my big issues with startup businesses and small businesses is they don't pay attention to their numbers. And I was as bad when I first started my business. I hated numbers. I couldn't be bothered with all the accounting stuff. Shove it all in a box, give it to my accountant at the end of the year, go sort that out or whatever. But as your business grows, if you don't know, even when it's not growing, even when you're first starting off, if you don't know your numbers, you are not in business. P&L and a balance sheet are the most important things in a business. And with ClearBooks and products like that, it's there on tap. You only got to press a button and you've got it.
That's right.
Well, clients can look at a dashboard. It's as good as the information you put into it, isn't it? So you can look at who owes you money, who you owe money to, what you've got in the bank. It links to your bank account. It does all these things for you so that you look, well, that's what my dividend looks like, that's what my tax bill looks like, that's what my VAT bill looks like. It's only as perfect as what you put in it. You know, if you only put in your invoices and none of your purchases, you're going to look brilliant. And, you know, I can see why, Joe.
You use ClearBooks.
I do use ClearBooks.
So you're a ClearBooks user as well. Joe, that is. But it's interesting. Now, you're right. You know, anything's only down to the quality of the data. But no matter what, no matter what data you put in, all the things that you just said are available. All of those links are available. You can do all of those things. Back at 70% of businesses, as Phil was just saying, are trying to do all this on a spreadsheet, which is why they don't do it, because it's too complicated for them. And it's just, that's just crazy. Yeah. There's no need for it.
And, you know, you get to the end of your year, 9 months later, you've got to get your accounts in. You're at the end of nearly another year, and you don't know what last year's was.
Absolutely.
But the shoebox does.
So, Phil, if you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about the history of ClearBooks, where it came from, how it arose, where it is. Give us some of your numbers.
It's an interesting story, actually, because our founder, Tim Foraker, was, or is still is, actually a qualified accountant in his own right.
I've actually met him. He actually came on the show a few years ago.
So he was a qualified accountant. He was a bit of a sort of a bedroom geek, if you like doing a bit of programming, coding in his spare time. And he happened to be doing the accounts for his mum, who runs a small stage school in London. And he was using a spreadsheet to do the accounts and thought, there has to be a better way of doing this. And at the time, this is back in about 2008, we were still primarily using sort of desktop software. And so he decided to start writing his own package from scratch. Spent 18 months, or gave up his job, spent 18 months in his spare bedroom writing the first version of the software, right. And then formally released it in around 2010. And we've been going ever since.
Okay, cool. I mean, it's no mean feat, that, as well, because although it's really clever at the front end, the back end of something like that is pretty complex.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And Tim's an interesting character. So he's now, as you'd have gathered, because of my new job title, Tim's actually gone off to do something else. So he's showing.
Has he got a cunning plan? Is he like Joe? Is he working on cunning plans?
He's definitely got a cunning plan.
Yeah. That's right. So so you've kind of been going since 2010. And do you have any numbers? I mean, how many people are using ClearBooks? Do you know that?
In the UK, it's just shy of 12,000.
Really? Wow. Okay. Fantastic. And you're based in?
Hammersmith in London.
I know it well. It's my home patch.
Yeah.
I'm actually a Fulham boy.
Oh, well.
Yeah. okay. So, I mean, presumably a lot of what you do as well is just keeping up with new legislation and the changes to things. What are you laughing for?
Well, it's just, I know what's going to be making tax digital. What a joy. Go, Phil.
Yeah. <It's> making tax digital. Oh, what another clever idea. Yeah.
So for those of the listeners who aren't aware, there is new legislation coming in. HMRC and their wisdom have decided that, I think for two reasons. One is they publicly want to address what they call the tax gap. So want to make sure that small businesses are paying the amount of tax that's supposed to.
Yeah.
The new program is being sold as a way of making life easier for small businesses to keep on top of their future tax liabilities. But the bottom line means that from April 2018, when it first kicks in, small businesses will need to keep their accounting records in some form of digital format. So shoebox records are going to go, spreadsheets are going to go, because they're not going to be able to provide online submissions to the HMRC website, which for us as a software vendor clearly is a huge opportunity, but it's also a bit of a challenge because there's a lot of work to be done between now and then. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting couple of years, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. It's another one of those things, isn't it, that at a high level, you can imagine a load of civil servants sitting around going, we could clobber more tax out of these people if we put some more rules in place, which you probably might, although I doubt it very much, that you'd actually make more of a tax return, because more people are likely to not pay taxes at all rather than...
Well, the interesting thing is, if you've got a small business who's using the shoebox method, as we lovingly refer to it, right now, if all they're doing is providing paper records to their accountant at the end of the year, there's every chance that they'll have lost a few bits of paper during the preceding 12 months. If we now push them into the realms of having to keep regular records, they're more likely to actually record all of those additional expenses, which is actually going to reduce the tax liability.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the law of unintended consequences strikes once more.
Absolutely.
And whilst I'm never against making things better and easier, and as someone with a lot of digital businesses, I understand the power of digital, and making government more digital should eventually make it more accessible, although they do seem to find ways of being less accessible as each day goes on. But this has been another poorly thought out implementation. I do know that they're now talking about delaying digital tax for the smallest of businesses by another year or so, so that everyone can save up for a computer. But I don't. but seriously, this staggered me the other day. It's not totally in line with what we're talking about, but do you know 70% of small businesses still don't have a website?
I know, it's crazy.
I think that's incredible. Yeah. An incredible statistic. Unbelievable.
I was just going to take us back really right at the beginning of the conversation, and that was really, whose responsibility is it to direct the person or the company or the small business that doesn't know what they don't know to use something like ClearBooks?
It's a really, really good question, actually, Bert, because there's a lot of criticism recently about HMRC's lack of communication. So I think now we reckon probably two-thirds or so of the accounting practices in the UK understand what's coming and the timeframes they have to work to. But it hasn't yet got to the end user, and HMRC have not been targeted in their communications there. So there's still a lot of work for them to do and for us as software vendors to do and our accounting partners to make sure everybody is aware.
Absolutely.
Ultimately, it's the responsibility of the SME, but the accounting community has a huge part to play in this as well.
Yeah, I mean, why use, say, Sage or ClearBooks? Who chooses what system to use?
It varies tremendously. We, as you might imagine, we work with lots of accounting practices. Many, like Rift, tend to focus with one particular vendor because, A, they like the product, but B, they also build up the relationship. Others will deliberately offer a choice to their clients, which absolutely makes sense. And in the case of the SMEs themselves, ultimately, they just prefer the look and feel of one particular product over another. So there's a variety of reasons.
And I think kind of backtracking on what you just said as well, Phil, obviously their accountant will go, no, use ClearBooks because that's what we like. So they go, yeah, well, you know what you're doing, so we'll do that. I think most people, if they're driven at all by anything like that, is their accountants will make a suggestion for them. Unless they're particularly savvy themselves, and you know.
Yeah, but I think the worrying thing is all these people are still working out of shoeboxes, and you know, and people are doing their own accounts and working out of shoeboxes. If there's no communication coming from HMRC, which is what we think is pretty much the case, all of a sudden they won't be able to do that and know what it's like. There'll be a fine because you haven't uploaded this in the end of the first quarter or whatever. And I think it's going to get quite tricky.
I think it will. I was talking to HMRC a couple of weeks ago, and even they admit that there is a communications issue. But at the same time, they also have a challenge in that nobody likes to listen to what HMRC is saying.
Funny that.
So they need other routes to communicate.
I mean, they are their own worst enemy because they're dreadful. As an organiser, there's no other way of putting this. They're dreadful. I had one the other day. A colleague of mine contacted me and said, I've just been fined for not paying my corporation tax. Well, you should have paid your corporation tax. He went, I did, and I paid it months ago. I went, well, what have they fined you for? Well, for non-payment. Well, hold on a minute. You just tell me you paid it. And it took him a month for HMRC to go, no, you have paid it. Oh, yeah, okay, well, ignore us. Yeah, really? Mm. But coming back to what we were saying about shoebox accounting, there's two sides to this from my point of view. There are far too many people in business that still don't understand business.
Mm.
Yeah, they think, it's my money, I earn it, I do what I want with it.
Yeah.
And you just hear that so often, you know. No, you've got to account for it.
Yeah, well, I've got you as an accountant because I don't want to pay tax.
Yeah.
Well, there's one way to not do that, not make any money. Apart from that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But also, from the other point of view, our tax system is far too complex, in my humble opinion, far too complex. And like so many things, in order to fix a problem, they don't unwind, they build on top. And that just becomes much more and more complex. And it drives people away. It drives people away that would normally morally and legally want to pay all of the tax they earn to going, do you know what, this isn't worth doing because I just can't cope with how complex this is. So I believe, my fundamental belief is that HMRC would raise far more revenue if they simplified the tax system than by making it more complex.
The tax system needs a complete rewrite from the ground.
Yeah, it does.
You're right. It's just been added to over the years, and it's way, way too complex.
Yeah, absolutely.
But nobody in government is ever going to be brave enough to do that.
No, they're not. And, you know, it's like we came to an event at your place on IR35, and it's laughable. IR35 is just one of the most laughable pieces of legislation you've ever seen in your life because it has no rules to it.
The event at our place was not laughable.
No, the event was really good. I don't know. I enjoyed myself.
Got bacon sandwich.
Yeah.
But it's, you're right, it's complicated, and I can understand why people get put off by it. But things like ClearBits, when you look at it, when you can upload, do your payroll on it, do this, do that, whatever, it's becoming a one-stop shop for businesses.
Well, that's where I was kind of coming to with this, is that by using a product like ClearBooks, you're going to take away all of that hassle and all that, because all you've got to do is upload the stuff. Yeah. And I want to talk to you about that in a moment as well, about uploading stuff. This is technical now. Uploading stuff.
I'm still with you. Yeah, go on.
Uploading stuff, yeah. So from your point of view, how does it work? I'm a small business. I've bought something. I've sold something. What do I do next? I've got a piece of paper from someone that I've bought something from, maybe.
You should ask Jo. She uses it.
Yeah.
So what, my bookkeeper uses it.
Does she like
it? That's why I'm asking, because my finance manager does mine, so I haven't got a clue how it works. So Phil, you know, how does it work? If I'm a small business, I'm a ClearBooks user, I've just bought something and I've actually got a receipt. What do I do with a receipt? How does it work?
There's a couple of things you can do with it. That you can either key in the information about the products and services you bought, but you can also scan a copy of that receipt and save it against the accounting data.
Right.
There is a link to a third-party application. In fact, we're going to be doing more of these over the coming months, where you can scan a receipt and the software itself will work out what information it's seeing and make all the relevant postings into your books for you.
Okay. Is that... There's a couple of people that do that. Is it auto entry?
Yes, that's one of them.
Right, okay. I can't remember. So there are software things about where you can scan a receipt.
Yes.
It then digitizes that and takes that data and enters it into your books.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it posts it automatically. And on the other side, if you completed a job for a customer and you want to raise an invoice, again, you can raise that within the software itself. It can then automatically email an invoice out to the customer if you're giving
via ClearBooks.
Okay. And if you're giving the customer a number of days to pay that bill, the system can automatically send out reminders when the payment due date is pending. And if they haven't paid on time, it will continue to remind them.
See, that's good, isn't it? Because you can just blame the computer or ClearBooks then, can't you?
But
you go, sorry to hassle you, but
credit control is sorted out for you.
Well, the other interesting snippet for you is there was a survey recently that said the average SME in the UK takes 72 days to get paid for invoices.
Right.
We checked on the back-end database on ClearBooks. The average ClearBooks user gets paid in 30 days.
Wow, okay.
Which is a huge difference between being able to pay your payroll or your bills this month or not.
Yeah absolutely. I mean, for every business, cash flow's important, but for SMEs especially, it's a killer.
Absolutely critical.
Yeah. It's key, and that might be, for some people, that might be one of only two or three payments that's due in that month. And if one of them doesn't turn up...
Yeah.
And you've still got the staff to pay. No one's got time to chase it. It's all those little things that make a difference.
Credit control is one of the hardest things for small businesses. One, because they're bad at it anyway.
Mm.
And two, because they're scared of it. You know, like if you've only got two or three customers, how do you threaten your two or three customers that, you know, you're going to withdraw your services if they don't pay? You know, it's difficult.
But at the same time, they're not paying, are they?
They're not customers. Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. No, you're exactly right. And it's that dilemma, isn't it? It's always that dilemma. And without being funny or pointing my finger at anyone, it tends to be bigger organisations that are the worst payers as well, because, you know, they go, well, you know, you missed the computer run or some other nonsense.
I mean, in theory, there is government legislation that tries to guard against big companies taking advantage of small companies. But the reality is your average small business is scared stiff of actually chasing those big customers because they represent such a large portion of their turnover.
Absolutely.
The other thing that is really popular with our clients is that when it comes to invoicing and so on, you can put your own logo onto it. So again, it doesn't feel like it's coming out as a generated invoice. It feels like and the estimates fall into the invoice and so on and so forth. So what starts as a pro forma can be the real thing and so on. So I think it's getting more and more clever.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I just want to touch on, if I may, charging. I'm not necessarily going to get into the, you know, exactly how much it is, but how does one go about paying for ClearBooks? Is it a fixed monthly cost, or is it based on how many transactions you do? How does it work?
It's not related to the number of transactions or even the number of users. So it is effectively a fixed monthly cost.
Okay.
But in many cases, so a lot of our SMEs will take out a monthly subscription themselves.
Right.
And depending on what level of functionality they want, that's typically between sort of £10-20 a month.
Really? Okay.
A lot of our SMEs are provided with the subscription via their accountant. Mm. In some cases, the accountant cross-charges that monthly subscription. In more cases than ever, though, nowadays, the accountant treats the cost as a cost of servicing the client. So it's just built into their monthly charge.
Okay.
It's just
It's there
because it makes life easier.
Yeah.
Certainly it makes life easier for you because you've avoided the shoebox syndrome at the end of the year.
Once you've taught the customer, work with the customer, and we give a lot of support to make sure they can use it, most people would... You should be like trying to take it away from them and be like, no, you can have it in that. Yeah, it works. It works well.
Cool. So, Phil, for you, I mean, obviously you're facing all the issues with Making Tax Digital that are nice and exciting for you to deal with. Do you have any other plans? Where do you see the business going itself?
It's a really interesting time for us. So Making Tax Digital is the single biggest opportunity. And we're bringing out new products over the next couple of months, specifically to target those smaller businesses who are using shoeboxes or spreadsheets at the moment. And then the other side to it is we're also about to start some work in integrating with other third-party products as well.
Right.
So we have a short list of candidates that are just being refined at the moment.
Okay.
And that'll make the whole system even easier to use than it already is.
So they're kind of ancillary services that you build on around you.
Yeah, it goes back to the point I think you made earlier in the show about collaboration. It's pointless us trying to either reinvent the wheel or do absolutely everything. If there are products out there that will add value to what we do, then why not link to them?
Absolutely. I love that. And funny enough, coming back to, I was talking earlier about the 30-30 event that we're doing at a school in a couple of weeks, and we did one a couple of weeks ago at the Longfield Academy, and I was talking about Generation Z, who are the current generation that are at school. That's people born after the year 2000.
Hang on, is that the Linksters?
Linksters, yeah. And exactly. And we were talking about that exactly, because a lot of people were still going, well, they're Generation Z. And I went, hold on a minute.
Hold on.
Linksters.
They're Linksters.
They're Linksters. And people went, what? And it is about linking things, isn't it? You know, where we are now, it's all about joining up things together, linking them together.
I really did put you in first place with that, didn't I?
You did.
With the Linksters.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
No.
So the kids all at Longfield are now calling themselves Linksters. Thank you, Nettie.
That's what they are.
Yeah. So, Phil, thank you so much for joining us on The Bunker Show.
My pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you about the growth of ClearBooks and the services that you provide to small and medium-sized businesses in the UK. And more power to you, and keep on keeping on. We love what you do. It is a huge benefit to use a service like yours to the small business community. If people want to find out more about ClearBooks and what you do, how can they do that?
The easiest way is via the website, which is simply clearbooks.co.uk. Or you could follow us on Twitter at ClearBooks. So really, really nice and simple.
So give them a follow at ClearBooks. Do check out the website. Do have a look. Do talk to your accountant about using a service like ClearBooks. For the moment, Phil Sayers, CEO of ClearBooks, thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you, Nettie, for introducing
Phil.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.